It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, and he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field, into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Andrew Mark, right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, also on Twitter, at hashtag GiantsChat. And joining him this morning is Paul Dottino, beat reporter for WFAN, of course a contributor to all things New York Giants. Paulie, how's the walking going? Have you gotten going yet this morning?
Actually, John, you know, off and on showers throughout Bergen County today, so I'm kind of trying to pick my spots. Might not go for my walk until a little bit later on.
I was going to say, I thought you were the credo of the postman. No. Snow, rain, wind, anything like that. Nothing's going to stop Paul Dottino.
You know what? I figured I'd take a little time here to talk to you first, and we'll take care of things later.
Sounds like a plan, Paul. All right, we had a chance to watch the first OTA yesterday at the Timex Performance Center. Number two will take place today. My guess is that it's going to be indoors inside the Fieldhouse. We'll, of course, have some highlights of that on Giants.com later on today. But, Paul, what were your early impressions from the Giants' first OTA?
Well, you know, I think both of us were impressed with the way the guys went about things yesterday. Very business-like. They seemed very eager to be back. I thought that Tom Coughlin and Manning and Justin Tuck, obviously the coach and the two captains on the team, or two of the three captains on the team, really set the bar. This is important. These OTAs are not something that you take at half speed. They're not something you goof around about. These OTAs are something that you need to establish a certain mentality, an idea that they're a championship team. And when you walk into the doors of the Timex Center and you see those trophies there, reason for it. It's because of the way the Giants do things. And they want to make sure that everybody, from the rookies to the free agents to some of the veterans that have come onto this roster, they want to make sure that they understand from day one that if you want to be a championship-caliber player and you want to be part of this Giants championship-caliber organization, you're going to do things the way we do them. And that's what these OTAs are really all about.
And they're really valuable for the younger players. And we saw it last year, Paul, when there were no OTAs because of the lockout. All the Giants draft picks were behind in their work. So I think getting these young guys out on the field, acclimated to the Giants system, to their offense early on, is a very, very important thing.
Well, it is in a lot of ways, John. You're right. It's in terms of physical conditioning, that's a huge component that those guys missed. Several veterans last year were clearly not in shape by the time the lockout was over and everybody was expected to report to the Timex. So that's a huge, huge part of this. But there's also the mental part. As you recall, when the Giants picked Prince Amukamara last year, he came in for that visit because they allowed all the draft picks to go and visit their teams and take their photos. But then a day later, the lockout went back into effect. And so all those rookies, all those draft picks, all those newcomers, they didn't get the playbooks. They didn't get the DVDs. They didn't have the ability to do all the off-season homework that these young kids usually have to do. So to me, that may be even more important than the physical part of what these kids are doing as they report to these OTAs, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. And they got to get their heads in the books. You got to learn the offense. And I had a chance to talk to Jarrell Jernigan yesterday, and I asked him, you know, how tough it was to adjust last year coming from a spread offense to Troy, adjusting to Kevin Gilbride's notoriously complicated pro-style system. And he basically rolled his eyes and was like, I didn't have a chance. That's basically what he said to me. In training camp, he was basically running around like a chicken with his head cut off because he couldn't get his head into that playbook and learn anything until basically the 1st of August.
And you know, I think that the one thing that we need to remember about what the Giants did with this year's draft class is that they drafted a bunch of guys who seem to have a high football acumen. So that should help them as they begin to acclimate themselves to the pro game, as they go through these OTAs, as they go through the film sessions and the playbooks, et cetera, I believe, and again, I may be wrong, but I believe in talking to the picks this year, that they all have a very high football acumen. You know, Carl, say rookies are not just add water. You know, you do need to coach them up. I get the sense that guys like Wilson and guys like Randall, these guys seem to already have a little bit more of a grasp than some of the other rookies that I've seen drafted over the years, and that may help them, John.
And we talked about the young guys and some of the veterans. It was very encouraging to me to see Terrell Thomas out there on the field, not doing any team stuff, but in terms of individuals and running around, he didn't look like himself necessarily, like 100%, but he looked pretty darn good.
I think the thing that I really liked about what Thomas told me after the workout is that he's going to be full 7-on-7 by the time training camp rolls around in Almaty. He said that'll be 10 months since I had the surgery, and as far as I'm concerned, I will do all 7-on-7s. I'll be full go. Now, may not be ready for contact right away, and he gets that, but he's like, I'm telling you. I said, confident? Doctor said that's okay? He said, I'm telling you. I'm doing all the 7-on-7s. I'm taking all the reps. They'll wean him in terms of the contact because obviously the guy hasn't taken a hit in quite a long time. But that's something they'll be able to deal with as they go through the preseason and as they get to opening day. The fact, though, that he believes he's going to be able to take all of the 7-on-7 reps, to me, is huge because that will allow him to get some type of chemistry going again with those players as they figure out where it is they're supposed to be on the field. It isn't necessary for him to have contact at that point. You only want that to happen once the season starts.
And obviously there is no contact during the OTAs. It is a non-contact practice, so the players don't have any contact anyway. But in a very bad scene yesterday, the Giants saw Brian Witherspoon go down, just making a simple cut during a drill, re-injuring that knee, and Paul, unfortunately, it seems pretty serious, and he might very well have another torn ACL.
Yeah, and that would be the second one for him. You know, the Giants seen a whole bunch of these things. You know, remember, Tom himself had one some years ago, and he's coming off his second one as he attempts this comeback. Witherspoon, to me, is a capable NFL corner. I thought when I saw him last year, when he got to camp, that he was a guy who could play in this league. I thought he had a heck of a chance. In fact, he was my dark horse pick of training camp to make the Giants roster, much like Bruce Johnson was a couple of years back. And, you know, he goes in, has a torn ACL, one of six Giants corners who were injured last season, and now it happens again. There is a reason why the Giants have stocked up on cornerbacks going into this year. Obviously, they drafted Hosley. Mogan was signed from the Patriots. They brought back Bruce Johnson. They brought back Witherspoon. They brought back Coe. Thomas is coming back off of injury. John, going into this offseason, I believe right now the Giants probably have as deep a cornerback position as I've ever seen in my 30 years of covering the club, or at least before going back to the days of restricted free agency and Plan B when you were able to retain as quality guys as you could without dealing with a salary cap. So let me revise that statement. It's the deepest Giants cornerback position I've seen since the true advent of salary cap and free agency. There's a reason for that. They saw these guys go down with epidemic proportions last year. They don't want that to happen in 2012.
201-939-4513. We're joined by Paul Dottino, beat reporter from WFAN, and of course a contributor to all things Giants media. We'll have Paul a few more minutes, then we'll take your calls at 201-939-4513. Paul, I want to hit a couple hot button issues you do before we say goodbye. One that maybe hasn't really, you know, taken hold of the media. It's a minor battle, but these guys competing for that third safety spot, which saw a lot of playing time in Perry Field's defense last year, really is wide open and is going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is wide open, John. And by the way, I forgot to mention Tryon as one of the key corners who very easily could be involved in that mix, and Amukamara, obviously, too, before. So let me not, you know, discount those guys as we talk about that crowded position. It's interesting because that third safety spot almost becomes a part of that corner conversation, because if Perry Fuel looks at those safeties, the veterans that they signed during the offseason, the veteran backups, in addition to Sash coming back, in addition to Hill, an undrafted free agent who was here in camp this year, Johnson, there's a whole bunch of guys who are trying to get into that mix. And I tell you, what's interesting to me is that if the Giants are so happy with the corners that they have, I wonder if there's a potential for them to necessarily keep an extra corner or two, slice off a safety, and feel as though maybe one of those corners is big enough and strong enough and maybe adept enough to maybe play that third safety spot. I mean, it's not out of the question. I know that Prince himself at times, because of his athleticism, and I know there are questions about him because he missed a lot of time for injury last year, but there was even a thought that when he was drafted last year that he might fit into that Deion Grant role, which, of course, didn't happen because he got hurt. The Giants had to re-sign Deion Grant, and Deion became that third safety again. But I wonder if that may not also be part of the Giants' mathematical thinking as they try to construct this roster, John. Maybe they don't have to keep four safeties. Maybe they only keep three, you know, because they might want to keep an extra corner because those guys are such a high caliber.
Yeah, you're right, Paul, and it'll be interesting to see it. All these young guys have a chance to compete. And remember, your traditional nickel package has three corners, not three safeties. But we'll see exactly what happens. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Paul, I want to touch about middle linebacker first. For the first time in a long time, Chase Blackburn is going to be the middle linebacker, and at least that's has the job heading into camp. It's really a first time for him.
Yeah, you know, we all love Chase because he's a great teammate. He's a real blue-collar guy, gives you 250% on every play, very smart player. But there are limitations. We know what his physical limitations are. He's been around this league for a while now. It's not like he's got upside. He's what he is. Clearly, what he is was good enough for the Giants to win the Super Bowl last year. That's fine. But at the same time, I do believe that Mark Kurzlik is a guy who they're really looking for to try to seize that spot. I think Kurzlik is going to be given an opportunity to compete against Chase Blackburn during a training camp in Albany. And if he can do it, or if Rivers can do it, or if Bowley can do it, whoever they mix in there, Greg Jones obviously is still around. The Giants want someone to seize the spot and say, hey, you know what? You have to be the starting middle linebacker on this team because you've clearly earned it. You have taken control of the position. At this point, yes, Chase Blackburn has got to be the incumbent. He's got to be the guy who has the small edge. But I believe that Kurzlik, in my mind right now, if I had to pin an odds-on favorite to win the job by the time the Giants are maybe a month into the season, I suspect that Kurzlik is going to be the guy.
Interesting, interesting, very interesting. In terms of on the offensive side of the ball, the Giants' fourth-round pick, the tight end in Cincinnati, is not here. He's taking classes. Martellus Bennett, obviously, right now is the incumbent at that starting tight end spot. Also, some movement on the offensive line. Will Beatty, who did not practice yesterday, still trying to get back from that eye injury. How do you see, if I asked you now, what the starting offensive line would be that first game against Dallas, what would you say?
Well, John, I'm going to go with Deal at right tackle, Beatty at left tackle. Boss is back at center. We know Snead's the right guard. The left guard's an interesting position because, you know, I think a lot of Kevin Booth. You know that. I also wonder if he's not more valuable to this team as the swing guy than he is becoming the starting left guard. I wonder how good Mitch Petras can be. How much more development can, you know, we've talked about him in the Richie Seibert mold. I wonder, are the Giants better off maybe starting Petras at left guard if he can continue to show improvement during training camp and maybe Booth remains that swing guy? Or is it just, hey, you know what? Petras isn't quite ready to be that guy on an every down basis, and Booth is going to have to just go in there and play every snap. I think that's a very interesting situation. Because in my mind, you've seen how this offensive line has been injured the last 3 years, John. They've had to mix and match guys. It's been like dominoes. Booth is so valuable as that swing guy. I think there may be a little bit of hesitation to plug him in as the full-time starter, and I understand that.
Paul, finally, I want to ask you about the kick return game, both punt and kick. For once, the Giants seem to have a lot of options at both and some explosive options at that, guys that can not only, you know, control the ball, catch it, not fumble, but can make some plays.
Well, John, I thought it was really funny to watch Dominic Hickson get back there and field some punts yesterday. I was busting him in the locker room. I said, Hicks, I had two ACL surgeries, and you're back there fielding punts this morning? And he laughed and he goes, I can't let them forget about me. Well, that's a great attitude. I don't necessarily know, even though he's the most accomplished punt returner, I don't necessarily know that I'd want to risk him back there. If he truly is back all the way from two ACL surgeries, I'd certainly like to see him as part of the receiving core and maybe save him from taking the pounding on the returns. At the same time, Jernigan is a work in progress. We don't necessarily know if he can seize the job or not. He's very dynamic, very quick, very athletic, very elusive. It would be terrific if he could take the job, but that remains to be seen. And then we saw Randall back there, and I like the way he handles punts. I think he catches the ball cleanly. He looks like he understands it. It looks like he's not afraid to do it. But do you want to jeopardize his health and safety by throwing him back there? Because, John, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to predict that Randall is going to have a sensational rookie season. I really believe this kid is going to be explosive right out of the box. I feel that strongly about him. I think he's that pro-ready. I think he's that polished. I think he has that much skill and talent. I personally would hate to see him back returning kicks and risking what could be a terrific rookie season as a wide receiver. But, again, the Giants need somebody to step forward. As you said, there are options, but they need to figure out which one is the right one.
Paul, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, my friend.
All right, John. We'll see you soon.
If you see a crazed man walking around northern New Jersey, it's probably Paul Dottino. So keep your eyes out, especially if you're wearing some Giants gear. 201-939-4513. All joking aside, Paul does a great job. Friend of the program, he's just fantastic. So thanks to Paul Dottino for joining us today on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com, presented by Andrew Mark on Giants.com, and, of course, on your Giants mobile app as well. Let's go to our phones at 201-939-4513. Victor's in Texas. Victor, good morning.
Hey, good morning, John. Wow, man, Paul, y'all answered every question I had.
Oh, wow. Come on, we're not that good.
I'm serious, from the linebackers to the training to the OTAs, if players should show up, how beneficial it is. It's good to see that you have, you know, veterans show up, and injured players getting there, to even the middle linebacker spots, even in the return team. I mean, I don't know. What can I say? I mean, are the coaches healthy? What's going on with the field? I don't know. I mean, wow. I mean, that was a great rundown by you and Paul. I mean, the only thing I could probably ask you guys is, I mean, opinionate with you guys or agree with, is the fact that Reuben Randall, I mean, I look at his build, and I see the same build as Hakeem Nicks. I don't know his hands, how big his hands are, but, I mean, he's fluid with his route running. And I don't know how quickly he's grasped that wide receiver position, because, you know, playing with Kevin Gilbride, the wide receiver position is very, very important. You got to learn that. So you could talk to me about how you've seen him in the OTAs grasping this little bit of the offense he's gotten so far. And if you talk about also the injured guys, I mean, you talk about Terrell Thomas. I mean, the Giants gave him a lot of money. The Giants are expecting him to come out and contribute. And just give me an update on Mark Bradshaw and his foot. And I appreciate you, John, and thanks for everything.
Hey, Victor, no problem, man. Thanks a lot for the call. Well, let's start first with Reuben Randall. What I'll say about Reuben is that he's actually a lot bigger than Akeem Nicks, and I would probably say Akeem Nicks is probably a little bit more elusive and explosive side to side. Reuben Randall's more that big strider, straight line speed type of guy. A different type of explosiveness to me. Again, Nicks is probably a better guy after the catch. Randall will be more elusive trying to get down the field. Using that big frame is. He's probably a good 3 inches taller than Akeem Nicks, give or take, Victor. As for Terrell Thomas, he did some individual stuff this week with the OTAs. He's still not doing team. He says he's taking his time with his knee. He doesn't want to rush it to make sure he doesn't have another incident with the injury, re-injure the knee. So he's being very careful. He's slowly getting his legs underneath him, and he should be good to go come training camp, and as Paul said, maybe some 7-on-7 once mandatory minicamp comes in the middle of June. So that's progress for Terrell Thomas, and wisely, there's no reason for him to rush it. He's a veteran, get the knee healthy. That's how he's going to be most effective. And number three, you asked about Ahmad Bradshaw. The foot seems fine. I mean, this guy seems to have another screw or plate put on his foot every season, and he comes back, he looks okay, and eventually the way he runs, all kind of bow-legged, he'll re-injure it. So for now, he looks good. That's the most important thing. We'll see if he can stay healthy and how long he can stay healthy over the course of the year. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, good morning, pal.
Good morning, guys. I got a question.
Sure.
After he torn an ACL, how long will Brian Witherspoon be out for?
Well, look, we don't know, Tim, that it is, in fact, torn. That seems to be the fear, unfortunately. Tom Coughlin said that during his press conference yesterday. He's 26 years old. It'll be his second ACL in as many years. He'll miss the entire season. If he still wants to play, he can try to come back for next year's training camp. But it's a shame, too, because he looked very good last year in camp. And with the injury to Terrell Thomas, people really thought Brian Witherspoon could be the third corner for the Giants and be that nickel corner and play well more than 50% of the snaps every game. But he had the knee injury late in camp, and now he's had it again. So certainly not a good day for Brian Witherspoon. And you just got to hope that's not a start of another epidemic of injuries for the Giants' defensive backfield. I mean, what happened to them last year was ridiculous. You just got to hope that doesn't happen again because it's very, very hard to survive. Even with the depth the Giants do have there, you can't survive that amount of injuries and hope to be good. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. That's your telephone number if you want to join us on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. You can also go to Twitter and send in your questions to hashtag Giants Chat. OTAs continue today at the Timex Performance Center. A few more next week. After the four-day weekend, the Giants charity golf outing, which is on Tuesday. Then four ATAs the following week. And then we wind down, really, with mandatory minicamp that I guess it's the third week of June. They'll end that Thursday. And then the players are gone, and we won't see him again until training camp. Eli Manning addressed the media after OTAs yesterday. Let's take a listen in.
Well, I think quarterback's always going to be a little bit, and obviously once the play's called, you're in the huddle, you are the coach. And someone's looking a little confused, you got to tell them where to go, what to do. And for the most part, I'm working with the veteran guys, but there's going to be some young guys out there, so you are in there just talking to them, trying to simplify things in their minds. Make it as easy as possible for
him. Eli, for you, where does the new season really begin? Was it getting the rings? Is it this OTA? Is it when you get to Albany? Where does it begin?
Hey, this Paul Dottino.
No, right now. I think it starts in the spring, and whenever you start, working out. A few weeks ago, when getting everybody back and start preparing for this upcoming season. Obviously, I think on the field stuff's the most important thing, where you get guys back focused in on what we need to do to improve, as an offense on the field. Is there certain routes? Is there certain concepts? Obviously, you're going to have new guys every year, get them caught up on what we expect and our style of play. So this is the first day, where you're starting from kind of day one. It's the same plays that we put in, 8 years ago are the same things we put in today. So, stuff I know very well, but you're trying to get the young guys and trying to help them learn these things and get caught up just with our basics.
Coach says the other thing that he wants a lot of these young guys to learn, the newcomers, is what it means to be a champion, what it means to be a Giant. What do you tell them when they ask you?
Well, I think it's just understanding how we practice, how we prepare. And when we're on that practice field, it's business. It's everything's full speed. Everything's preparing to get better in some way, whatever that is. So nothing's done, half speed or without some sort of mindset going into that practice. What we're gonna improve on, what we're gonna focus on to get better.
Obviously, David Wilson's the number one pick. Do you look at him and see how this pick is
going? Well, obviously, you see talent and you see speed and quickness those are obviously important things, but for running back it's going to be learning all the technique, learning his footwork on his run game, but protections are going to be a big deal, knowing what to do. Hey, also I'm changing protections and changing plays, is going to be ready for that, and also routes, what his routes are versus every concept, and knowing where to be and all those things. Those things, it's what usually takes the longest and sometimes holds up a running back from getting on the field.
Justin.
That's Giants quarterback Eli Manning talking about OTAs in general and specifically running back David Wilson and the stuff he's going to have to do to get on the field. And like he said, it's not going to be stuff like running the football. It's going to be more like pass protection, learning the playbook, catching balls out of the backfield, things like that. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly David Wilson can learn the offense And that'll be important to see whether or not he gets on the field, because you have to trust a guy like Wilson to protect your franchise quarterback, Eli Manning. And we'll see if he can do that when he finally has a chance to get on the field. 201-939-4513. A lot of talk about Terrell Thomas on today's show. He also addressed the media yesterday. Let's listen in.
For me, just to get comfortable to do the drills, get back into playing football. Not at all. I've been doing this stuff for weeks. I just want to get out there, be around the guys. You know, it's good for me just to get comfortable to do the drills, get back into playing football.
How excited were you to get back? This year, how excited after what happened last year?
Very. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy just to be able to play football again, just to be able to you know, hang out with the guys, work out with them. You know, it's hard working out by yourself every day. But, you know, I'm blessed, and I'm just happy to be back and ready to contribute when I can.
When do you think you'll get in on team stuff?
It depends on what the doctors say. It's just progression. You know, every week, hopefully, we'll start improving. By mini camp, you know, hopefully I'll start to be able to be out there doing 7-on-7s, maybe some team drills. But it's just a progression.
And you have a brace on just for precaution?
Yeah, just for protection. You know, I've worked out without the brace. You know, I said it all the time. My knee's ahead of schedule. You know, I feel good in my knee, but there's no rush being it's my second time. And, like, I got nothing to prove here. You know what I mean? My best thing is to prove that my knee is back 100%, not that, you know, the player is back. So that's my main goal. That's the team's goal. And that's, you know, what we're focused on.
How tough was that year to go through, just not being able to be in on something so special?
Oh, it was tough. But, you know, look at it in highlight, you know what I mean? In hindsight, excuse me, it was a blessing. You know, I learned a lot as a father, as a young man, and as a football player. And I learned what I needed to do to get myself over the hump, to become a great player, to help this team get to the playoffs, to contribute. You know, I seen how they came together and ways I can fit in. And at the same time, I learned a lot about my family and just being a father.
What did you learn about being great by not playing?
Just the emphasis. I, you know, look back on the 2010 season where I can get better. Look at the difference in how they, you know, made their playoff run. It was all technique. It was all doing little things, and that's where I had lapses at. That's where we all had lapses at. It was all about trusting in the coaches, trusting in each other, and I think that was a difference that made them a great team towards the end. They all started believing in each other. They all started doing the easy things great, and, you know, the harder things, you know, the athletic ability would take over.
It seems, as if Brian Witherspoon, the injuries, yeah, they see him again. I mean, obviously that's a really good
thing. Yeah, it was tough to see him go down. Hopefully it's minor. I don't know anything, but, you know, he's one of my teammates that kind of had the same injury with all of us. So, you know, it kind of hit home to me. And, you know, I was right there. So my biggest thing was, to, you know, to keep getting back out there, because that's the biggest thing to get over is the mental part more than the physical.
201-939-4513. That's Giants cornerback Terrell Thomas talking a little bit about his injury and everything else, New York Giants coming back. And, again, he says he's not rushing. He's taking his time. And he'll be back in training camp, hopefully, you know, practicing every day. No 2 days in training camp anymore, so you're either going or you're not. There's no practicing once a day or any of that anymore. So there you have it. 201-939-4513. Let's close the show and the week with Roland in New York. Roland, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Yes, I want to know why OC is still not OTA. After you win the Super Bowl and, you know, you're still working on your contract, you know, you should still be in the OTA with the team.
Well, he's under contract. The Giants certainly would like him to be at the OTAs in the offseason training program, but like he has the last few years, OC's trying to play a little bit of hardball, trying to force the Giants' hand into extending his current contract or giving him a new one. And quite frankly, I don't see much of a reason for the Giants to budge. He signed the deal he's playing under, and he should be here according to his contract. And if he doesn't start showing up when he has to for mandatory minicamp and then for training camp, the Giants will find him. And then we'll see what OC decides to do then.
Yeah, because, you know, all these years that he played, the only real good season he had was 2010 to 2011. And after that, you know, you should be still playing with your contract, because you did well, but instead this is a team effort. You know, everybody has contract, even Justin Tuck. Look, Jason Paul-Pierre played over his contract, but he's still in OTA.
No, look, you're right. And the thing about it, don't undervalue OC, though. And you say he didn't had a couple years, he didn't play that well. That, you know, he had some injury issues, but last year's season did turn around when OC came back from that injury. And he had a big part to do with the Giants' pass rush and defensive improvement the last couple games of the regular season and then in the playoffs. So don't underestimate his value, but you're right. What OC has to understand is that he signed this contract. Most of the money in that contract was upfront money, whether it was signing bonus or guaranteed money in the first couple of years. So he got paid a lot then, knowing when you signed it, your salary was going to dip towards the end of the deal. And OC signed the contract knowing that. He's under contract, and quite frankly, why should the Giants renegotiate it? He signed the deal. He's here. He's had injury issues. Why would you give this guy a multi-year extension when there are health problems and they have him under contract? There's really no reason for the Giants to extend him.
Exactly. Especially if the Giants have so many defensive end. And I think the Giants should put Clinton Simpson on defensive end because of too much outside linebackers.
Yeah. Look, no doubt about it. All right, appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. And, you know, let's say this about OC, too. I say the Giants have no reason to extend them. If it's a reasonable extension where you can, you know, give them a certain amount of money and it's reasonable, that's fine. But there's no reason to break the bank. And right now, OC's looking for a big payday. And under contract, there's really very little reason for the Giants to give it to him. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones. Say hello to Alex in North Carolina. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
What's up?
I was just wondering why the Giants would ever give away Brandon Jacobs.
Well, they didn't give him away. Brandon Jacobs wanted money, and the Giants tried to renegotiate the contract, and the Giants weren't willing to give him the amount of money he wanted this year, and they felt it was a better idea to move on from Jacobs, draft a guy like David Wilson, get some youth at the position, and move forward that way. Last year, and even the year before, Brandon Jacobs wasn't all that productive, and they think they can get more out of a guy like David Wilson.
Yeah, I think they just have one too many running backs. I think they should, like, you know, give away Andre Brown or something.
Remember, Andre Brown is suspended the first four games of the year, so he's not going to be there. And you know, look, a competition in training camp is never a bad thing. You know, Andre Brown, he's gonna compete with DJ Ware. He's gonna compete with David Wilson. You got the Rutgers kids that's here. Then of course you have Ahmad Bradshaw. So there'll be a lot of competition at running back, which is a very good thing. And they'll soar through it, and eventually you'll come down on the final roster with three running backs, maybe four, and you'll go from there.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate the call. Good job by the callers today. Wrap up a good week of shows. No show tomorrow. No show Monday for the holiday. Tuesday we're at the Giants golf outing, so no show on Tuesday. But we will be here next Wednesday and Thursday. Friday I'm moving, so I won't be here for that either. But next Wednesday and Thursday we will have two shows. And then, of course, we'll go through the rest of the offseason without too many hitches in the road there. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Big Blue Kickoff Live presented by Andrew Mark comes your way every weekday from 10 to 10:30 on Giants.com and on your Giants mobile app. Go to your iTunes store, your Play Store on Google, and download the Giants app. It's free and it's fantastic. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time. Enjoy your holiday weekend.